In April, Cincinnati City Council gave the green light to a zone change that paves the way for a redevelopment of Hyde Park Square. Now, opponents of the project have gathered enough signatures to send the question back to City Council. What will happen next? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the future of the zoning change and the development are Cincinnati City Council member Mika Owens, Save Hyde Park Square organizer John Zinzer, DSD Advisors partner Colleen Reynolds, who's representing the development team, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist Chris Wetterich. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Chris, remind us briefly what this Hyde Park Square development calls for.
Yeah, it's a mixed-use development, which means it has a hotel, a 90-room hotel, a new apartment building, which would replace a couple of one-story buildings that are there currently, the redevelopment, rehabilitation of the Elace building, as well as first-floor retail. And, you know, I think the new number of apartments added is, I think, 125. And altogether, the project costs about $150 million.
And John, what are residents' objections to it?
First and foremost, it doesn't meet the current zoning, which was just approved about a year ago. That zoning was actually changed, interestingly, a year ago to make the acreage work for this particular piece so it could have the PD. Among the things that are against the zoning is the hotel that Chris just mentioned. That's not allowed. And the size and mass of this is completely beyond the scale of what's appropriate for a place like Hyde Park Square. So those are the things that really got the citizens started on, we don't want this to happen.
Colleen, I know there's been talk about the development team trying to address residents' concern. Tell us a little bit about what the development team did early on in this process.
Yeah, thanks, Lucy. So really, for the last year, starting last summer, we started to repeatedly engage with the neighborhood at neighborhood council meetings. We, you know, sent surveys around. We hosted office hours. We've been willing to engage really in whatever ways that the community wanted to engage with us. We did make adjustments along the way. We decreased the height. We added setbacks, broke the buildings up, provided shadow studies, answered questions around construction and curb cuts, and committed to that historic preservation of the building. And so, you know, I think what's gotten lost in translation is that from the very beginning of this project, we were engaging the community, and it is truly just a concept plan. And so that's important to correct the record that we have not engaged the community for over the last year.
And I know there were recommendations made to the Planning Commission, then the Planning Commission went back to the original plan rather than going with what the development team had proposed to change to try to address some of the neighbors' concerns. Councilmember Owens, you voted in favor of the zone change that would pave the way for this development. Explain why.
Absolutely. So I think what is important in centering this conversation is the big vision that we have to have for Cincinnati, one that includes housing, one that includes neighborhoods and communities that are safe, one that includes neighborhoods that have strong business districts. And so when we think about making these decisions, it's opportunities like Hyde Park when we're considering a planned development, which is a legal tool for us to think about what is the most efficient use of land, what will continue to bring in these mixed income, mixed development projects? What will bring economic vitality? What will bring a sense of community and gathering? What will bring, strength to business district? And so looking at this plan, it certainly offered those things. And again, as a member of City Council, making a decision around how we grow the city is extremely important. And so adding more housing, absolutely, both market rate and affordable, are certainly the things that we want to do. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, we're talking about increasing our tax base to be able to pay for the services that we all want and to deliver in the city of Cincinnati. So again, you know, planned developments are those things that are special, that are comprehensive. And so that's certainly why I supported this development and my colleagues.
We're talking about the future of a proposed Hyde Park Square redevelopment project. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. John, I want to come back to you. A city council majority did approve the zone change. Your group gathered enough signatures to get this on the ballot or ask city council to reconsider. You got more than enough to qualify. What did that say to you?
It says to me that this isn't a Hyde Park issue. It's a citywide issue. The people who circulated the petition were from 22 different neighborhoods across the city. We had circulators in Sailor Park. We had circulators from Mount Washington. We had circulators from downtown. Nobody sees this as a Hyde Park development issue. People see this as a citizen's voice issue. I was fascinated with council members' answer just now. It included lots of different pieces, but it didn't include citizens. And we have this strong feeling that neighborhoods deserve to have the voice of the citizens who, in our case, have been there 30, 40, 50 years paying taxes for that time. They've invested in what's there, and that's what they'd like to hold on to. To talk about $150 million or some other number, that's a new investment. That's really important. And no one in Hyde Park is against development. What we are is asking for smart development that includes citizens and honors the current zoning as it exists.
Chris, explain what City Council's options are at this point. Is it a matter of either reversing the earlier vote or putting this on the ballot?
Basically, yes. They could do one of those. You know, they could do – those are kind of the two base options. You know, I think John will tell you that, you know, they're kind of required to hold a vote, whether to put it on the ballot or to repeal it. There's also the possibility that other things could happen. The development team could withdraw their application as is, put forward a new application with, you know, new elements to it or variations on the existing elements. So there are a number of possibilities at this point. There's no guarantee that we will actually have this election in November.
Hmm. Councilmember Owens, do you think there's any chance council will repeal the April vote?
You know, I'm amongst an elected body of eight other people that need to come to a decision. And certainly we're keeping all of the options on the table. Obviously, we want to do what is best for the city of Cincinnati in all ways. And certainly, you know, some of those options could include, because something's going to happen, right? The developer owns the land. Something great is going to happen. And so being able to come back to the table and think about what the future could be, I think that's an option people like. But certainly all of them are on the table. And so this will have to play out over the matter of time that we have.
On timeline, I'm curious, like, will there be any kind of attempt this month to do anything, or the deadline to put something on the ballot is August, right? So do you see anything happening before then?
Again, you know, this is collective conversation, and certainly we do have until August to be able to make a decision about something.
And just a reminder to listeners, council goes on recess after the end of this month for another 2 months, basically. They have one August meeting typically before they kind of resume their regular schedule in September.
Have you decided how you would vote on the question of repeal, Councilmember Owens?
You know, I am someone, again, who, working with a body of other folks, I am keeping all options on the table. I certainly want to see that there is a project that happens that benefits the community, which I believe can still happen. And yes, community voices were there in the beginning. I certainly made time to listen. But I am not going to deny that process improvement is important as well. And we do need to think about the roles that each of us plays in these experiences, because ultimately what we want to do is get to progress and not delay. And certainly every day that goes past, you know, it increases the cost. And so all of those things have to be weighed as we're making decisions. But certainly, you know, the rules of engagement are important. And at the end of the day, council makes decisions that centers the entire city of Cincinnati.
I know you want to jump in here, John, but first I want to ask Colleen. You know, Chris explained this other option that rests with the development team withdrawing the request or kind of changing up the plan. Talk to us about that and if that's something that you all are considering.
Yeah, thanks, Lucy. You know, we too are keeping all options on the table. Much of this is going to be up to the neighborhood and the community council on how willing they are to compromise. We've reached out and requested a meeting. We haven't heard back yet on their willingness to do so. But I can tell you this, we are fully committed to building a transformative development on the square that addresses the concerns of the neighborhood, but also addresses what we're facing citywide. We have a housing shortage. We need to increase efforts to support small businesses. We need to drive economic growth for the broader community. And that's exactly what we're going to do. So we're full steam ahead.
John, I know you could, please feel free to weigh in on what you've been hearing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Lizzie. That's why repeal is the right thing to do. Everything that both Colleen and the council member have just said, this offers a win, win, win. And I'm going to add one more win for the news community, which I wasn't planning on before. But the win here is the developer can get started with a repeal much sooner. The win for the community is it will uphold the current zoning and will require greater engagement, all we've ever asked for. It's a win for council because it shows that they can listen to citizens and they have the ability to change when things don't go the way exactly that they were thinking and wanting. And I think it'll be a win for the reporting world because it's something that hasn't happened before. We haven't had a referendum in quite some time. And as I understood from one of Chris's pieces, we haven't had a referendum on development ever, I think you said. And that's a really exciting possibility. So if we want to move forward with all the things that we're hearing talked about, let's go ahead, do the repeal, which means we could be done in as soon as the 18th.
Well, we are going to continue this conversation after a short break. Later in the program, Coleraine Township's police department is struggling with staffing. We'll hear what the township plans to do. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about the future of a Hyde Park Square redevelopment proposal. My guests are Cincinnati City Council member Mika Owens, Save Hyde Park Square organizer John Zinzer, DSD Advisors partner Colleen Reynolds, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist Chris Wetterich. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We do have an email from Lois. Lois writes, I signed the petition to put the development on the ballot. Councilmember Owens mentions mix of housing to include affordable housing. There's no way that the housing to be renovated or built in Hyde Park Square will be affordable. Check costs at condos and apartments on the square. I'm not against any development, but want one that fits the community and maintains the character of an important gathering space for the city. Colleen, has the development team determined what the price points will be for the housing there? Is affordable housing part of the mix?
Not yet, Lucy. As I mentioned before, we're in the concept phase of this plan development. So what was voted on by City Council was about heights and uses and, you know, those all those details that the community's been asking for around renderings and landscaping and apartment rent rates and all of those things are to come later. Certainly, the development team is made up of market rate developers. But as I also mentioned, all options are on the table at this time.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the mechanics of this. We saw hundreds of people come to City Council to talk about this, vast majority opposed to it. There's the Save Hyde Park Square group that kind of led the signature gathering effort. But then there's also the Hyde Park Community Council, which is designated by the city as kind of representing, or at least try to represent the neighborhood's interest. Who, if there is a future negotiation here, who does the negotiating for Hyde Park, I guess?
Is that a question for
John?
Yeah,
for John, if he wants to talk about it.
And I do not speak for HPNC. Right. I just want to be clear. But the Hyde Park Neighborhood Council is definitely the focal point for that discussion. They'll vote in. They have a zoning committee. They have people who are a number of architects and other professionals who have that kind of knowledge. They would be the right place for that to really come to rest. Save Hyde Park Square is going to stay involved. We will go as far as we have to go. We're confident and comfortable. If we need to go to a ballot in November, we can do that, just like we did with the signatures. But we'd prefer to go to the repeal right now. But the person, the people who would have to be involved in the formality of that discussion would be HPNC along with the developer. And while there has been some brief conversations lately between the lawyers for each of those groups, there hasn't been an actual exchange. And there isn't going to be, is my understanding, until City Council makes its decision about repeal. That would be the right way to go. That would let the conversation open up. And it would keep the designated zoning that exists, which is all we've ever wanted, in place, and allow things to move forward from there.
So it's conditional on council repealing then?
No, it's conditional on them making the decision they have to make. And they can pass. We can go into a process of starting for a ballot initiative. And it would just be nice to know that. But I think then there would be willingness from, and again, I don't speak for HPNC. I'm familiar with some of the things they've said. I understand some of the exchanges that have happened between the lawyers for both sides, but it's not conditional on them repealing it, although that's what we would prefer. I don't think we're going to have any conversation until that decision is made, whichever way they go. I still think the win is available for most everybody if they choose to repeal. Somebody's going to lose in the election. It could be one, it could be all. Again, I think the developer has a win by getting able to start sooner if there's repeal. The city, the citizens will feel heard by the city. I think city council would get some credit for that and moving things forward. That's what the best move is for right now. That would create the best situation, in our opinion.
We do have a caller on the line. Hey, Michael, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
I have a comment. I'm calling to express support for the development. There is housing fundamental. There's a housing shortage, as Colleen Reynolds said earlier, in the city of Cincinnati. And I want to support Council Member Owens and the other council members and the mayor who've pushed for connected communities and making our city, growing the housing stock in our city. And I know there's many reasons why this may not be a perfect project, but I'd say this is a good enough project. I think most of us can agree on that. And I really hope this goes through. And I'll take my comment off there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, support for the project, Colleen. Is there anything you wanted to mention about the conversations that have been happening between the development team and the Hyde Park Community Council?
I think Chris's question and comments earlier point to the challenge that all developers face, right? I represent a number of developers who are hometown developers who want to make significant investments here in Cincinnati. And the process changes neighborhood by neighborhood, community by community. And so they're really striving to build something that, again, is going to achieve what the community wants to see for their square, but also that addresses the needs that have been set forth by city council in this city and really rise to that occasion, right? And say, hey, we need more housing. We need more housing to make housing prices go down. We need active business districts. That's what Connected Communities was all about. And city council, a supermajority of city council, supported this vision because it was going to be a transformative project. My client has been very public by saying, they could have put more housing in their proposal, but they chose to push for the hotel because they felt like it was going to really increase the activity within the business districts. That's entirely to support small businesses in this community. And so I think just going back to the point of this is about more than Hyde Park, we agree on that, I think all of us here in the studio today. This is about the future of development of the city and following the direction set forth by city council, the mayor, and the supermajority that took the vote to support this.
And I just want to add, echoing the concerns around confusion, even in my role, it's, I made space to talk to everyone, but certainly the delineation of who's Hyde Park Square, who's, the community council and being able to center these concerns. And so it's unfortunate that, 13,000 people, actually 18,000 people signing a petition, the constituents of this city, that we certainly want to hear their voice in this as well. But, the coming to the table at the end of the day, we need good faith actors on all sides. And I think that's what we certainly have demonstrated up to this point. And also going back to just what this echoes at large in terms of being able to reach our goals around housing. Yes, developers are taking a look at what does it look like to do business in the city of Cincinnati if housing is a priority for them. And so, again, every day matters. And if we are coming back to the conversation around affordable housing, certainly as we look at city incentives and, again, all things being on the table, that gives us greater opportunity to really say what we want as well. And so at the end of the day, again, something's going to happen. Good faith actors have to be there, and we need to make sure that we are setting up lines of demarcation around who the people at the table are. There are folks that spent money to go out there and collect these signatures. And it's unfortunate that we have to really be in this position. But I think clear roles at the beginning are going to be key.
We did get an email from Steve from Oakley. He writes, in part, this situation has evolved to be another example of mishandled and tone-deaf response to citizens' concerns by elected officials, ignoring hours and hours of testimony in opposition with few speaking in support, compounded by administrative appointees who did the same, three members of the Planning Commission choosing to not even attend a crucial hearing on this matter, bad form in both cases, projecting to the public that this cake has already been baked. Add this all up, and it has now morphed to be a potential pivotal issue in the fall council election. We're certainly living in interesting times in the Queen City. What do you think about that, Councilmember Owens, the points Steve is making there?
Yeah, I mean, the cake is not baked. The first step is, here's a concept. What does this look like? What does this mean? What are the benefits to the community? Does it achieve the goals of the city? Absolutely. Community members were listened to. At the very beginning, the developer did that. The community council, they were in the room together. But certainly, at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we understand that listening and doing exactly what I want are two different things. And there's no issue in the city of Cincinnati. There is no piece of legislation or policy that we will ever pass and get 100% support from everyone in the entire community. So at the end of the day, we... And changes were made based on those conversations. And so, again, I think this goes back to process improvement as well, because we certainly don't want to be in a position of who said what. And, again, at the end of the day, decisions have to be made.
Councilmember, I wonder, on the process, does it need to be changed? I mean, it seems like one thing Hyde Park wants to know is, what is this thing going to look like? And I understand the developer's position, which is that's not the process. That's not how we would spend – we're not going to spend money – before we know that we can build at the height and density that we want. But the community seems to, you know, there's even a member of it who has kind of developed drawings of it that show this massive gray block. And we all know that's not what it's going to look like, but he's trying to illustrate the massing of the project. And so does the city need to change its process in a way where people can actually see what the thing looks like before we engage in all, you know, in the process that we've engaged in so far?
Yeah, well, one, I don't think we need to add anything to the process that costs money and belabors the intent, right? And so I think being able to establish, one, clear definitions of who's at the table is important. I also think going beyond this, too, front-end conversations are important. So as we do the community plans, all of that, we should be able to speak from a set of values that we can all resonate with, and that is housing and safe communities, walkable communities, communities, yes, where maybe there are mixed income opportunities. But moving forward, it's maybe what are the key questions that the community should be asking as a development is being proposed? And so, again, right now we're talking about a concept, and we don't want to belabor what this concept looks like, because we know what the intended goal is, and we don't need a rendering necessarily. We just need to know that this concept can work. And by the way, it can only work once the developer, you know, gets the finances to be able to do it. And then it comes back and all of the things. But in terms of process, it needs to be clear about who's at the table and what questions are being asked.
John? There are plenty of opportunities for this process to take different direction. The staff hearing at the end of January, the Planning Commission hearing in March. There was plenty of warnings that there was a problem here and things could have changed there. And I do need to be really clear. This feels to the citizenry that it was baked. And that's why people around the city are really engaged and wanting to see this changed. The point is, citizens should also have a voice. And there was real difficulty around that. There has certainly been some outreach by the developer early on. That survey left a lot of questions. Other surveys were run that were almost exactly contrary to it, which seemed to have been written with a little bit more neutrality in mind. A lot of people have complained about those things. There were lots of chances for communication to happen between the citizenry and council, or the city if you want to put it that way, between HPNC and citizenry and the developer, and the strong sense that most people have, and this is what we heard over and over and over again from the 18,000 plus people who signed, is this deserves to be different. The Cincinnati they want to live in is one where citizen voice matters, where neighborhoods get to have a say in what's happening to them, not only a developer, not only city council, but the people who invested in that place for years.
We do have another caller on the line. John, I'm going to just read your comment because we're running short on time. John says he supports the development as is. He thinks it's necessary for progress, and he thinks people are fixating too much on the height. Thanks, John. Sorry we couldn't get you on the air. We're just running short on time. Councilmember Owens, this group did gather a lot more signatures than they needed, about 13,000 confirmed, but 18,000 overall, more signatures than the number of households in Hyde Park. What does that tell you?
Well, that tells me that they were very well organized and had the resources to do it. Now, what the conversations were to have someone sign a petition is something that is different, and I wasn't there for every one of those signature gatherings. But certainly that means people are excited about something. Ultimately, again, at the end of the day, and I want to go back to centering voices, which is why, you know, collecting that amount of signatures and then asking to repeal, you know, that is also something that is as concerning, right? It's not the community council. It's the Save Hyde Park Square people. But certainly what we also have to think about are the voices of the people who are not even here yet, who are looking for a place to stay, who are looking to be closer to their grandchildren, who are looking to be closer to their young people who just graduated and looking for their first job and hopefully staying in the city of Cincinnati. So voices do matter. And again, as long as people are willing to come back to the table or come to the table to see what we can all improve together, even if that includes more affordable housing, great.
Colleen,
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Does that, the number of signatures that were gathered, does that say something to you? Does that say there might be a problem?
I would say obviously we're sitting here because they got the required signatures, but, you know, getting on the ballot doesn't mean a victory or a finish line. It's the start of the next phase of conversation. You know, we're here. We've shown up to be on the opposite side of the table, but we can't operate with a one-way dialogue. And so we look forward to continued conversations.
There have been plenty of opportunities for multiple different levels of dialogue. And Save Hyde Park Square is not who introduced the concept of repeal. It's in the law. They have to go through that step on the way. It has to be decided by council. We didn't introduce that as some kind of curveball. I wrote part of the scripts that people were using, and it was largely about citizen voice. Of course, it had to focus on the amending component that city council had voted on the 23rd. It had to be targeted to that, and people definitely knew that that's what was starting it. But the piece that people are feeling and the things that I would be very concerned about if I was a council member or the developer is citizens' voice will basically always trump everything else that's being talked about. If you tell citizens they don't get to say what's going on in their neighborhood, you're going to have a problem.
Well, and I just want to say, sorry, I don't think anyone has said that. Certainly the developer, in good faith, started conversations. But I think what we're coming to is a point of, and what the caller just said is like the technicalities of height. I don't know if that's actually it, because the height did get addressed and that still wasn't enough. And so at the end of the day, I also want to just this idea of curveball. Certainly, this is democracy in action. Council operates in democracy as well. And so I do want to just contrast the idea of this plan development being a get out of jail free card, that developers can just do whatever they want and run rampant. And no, that is not it. It is a tool for us to make a decision about what our priorities are based on a piece of land and what a developer is willing to invest.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I've been talking with Cincinnati City Council member Mika Owens, Save Hyde Park Square organizer John Zinzer, DSD Advisors partner Colleen Reynolds, and Cincinnati Business Courier staff reporter and columnist Chris Wetterich. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Up next, Colerain Township's Police Department is struggling with staffing. We'll discuss why and what the township plans to do. This is Cincinnati Edition.